Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And it's another sunny and kind of warm day in Southern California.
It is.
September 28th.
That's right.
What is the temperature? Do we know?
I don't have a temp gauge here on my soundboard,
unfortunately. What would you guess it is?
80s?
No.
High 80s? 87, 88?
No.
It's actually 76 with the winds out of the east.
We're going to have to switch to a weather format. I like that, man. I don't know. I drive with the windows up and the air conditioning on, man. I tell you, it's 69 in my car. That makes me happy. So.
Yeah, but what is it in Malibu? He lives in Malibu.
Oh, jeez. Yes. Okay. Here we go.
20 degrees cooler than through the canyon.
Really?
That's generally about what it is. Sometimes a little less. It varies. But, I mean, I'll leave the house with a long sleeve shirt on and a jacket sometimes and strip down to my T-shirt by the time I'm through the canyon.
Sexy. So. You know,
right? Just the T-shirt. Yeah.
And, like, a little further north, they have gun racks. But in Malibu, you guys have wine racks.
That's right.
Watch out. He's
That's
got
right.
Gallo.
He'll pull his Cabernet on you. You'd better be careful, man. Michael, how you been?
I have been better. Thank you for asking. But, I think I've already said it, so it's not a surprise on this show, but sciatic nerve screaming down the right side of my body.
Oh, boy.
And stemming from a disc pinching it. We think it's
the
a disc
nerve of it, Michael.
The nerve. The nerve. Or it's a nerve pinching another nerve.
Unbelievable.
They do that.
Right.
And so it's just a big process to go through. And it's painful, and I will not take any pain medication. I don't want to do any of that stuff, steroids. I don't want to do it. I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I'm putting up with it until we do more testing, more x-rays, and see exactly what it is.
But it sounds like there's some good options on the horizon, some good things, some forward movement on
right.
that. That's great.
With the x-rays.
That's a great thing.
It takes a long time when you're in that kind of a special zone of your body to get appointments with the better doctors.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing all that right now.
Well wishes on that. Obviously a lot going on this time of year.
And absolutely.
We're going to tell you a little bit more about a couple of shows today that are sure to pique your interest.
That's right, Andrew. And we are joined today by two lovely people who have been on this program before, not together, but separately. Chris Meehan and Greg Shane. Let's give them a big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome, guys.
Yeah,
welcome.
Welcome here in the studio. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Glad to have you guys. Obviously, I mean, good grief, there's some really diverse projects coming up here and some great things we're going to tell people about. If you both be so kind as to hang around, we're going to talk a little more about that. But first, Michael, I think we ought to go ahead and thank our sponsors.
You're right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project.
That's right.
To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed.
Yeah. So obviously, Michael, I mean, those are two great resources for people to use. Breakdown Service obviously does such a good comprehensive job.
And they've got, they're the parent to so many other things that are under their umbrella, Actors Access, those kinds of places that actors go and should go and should be a part of. So.
And I was on Performing Arts Live just this week looking at some great events that are going on.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, mm-hmm. and the two great shows we're promoting here today, how was your week?
You know, I actually made a public appearance. I say that just because of this back thing has not permitted me to be as wheeling
you came out of
freewheeling as I have usually am going out to see theater, which between Andrew and I is extensive. But I did make it over to the Alex Theater in Glendale to see the Musical Theater Guild's production of Sugar, the musical. Ever heard of it, fellas?
I have not.
Based on the wonderful movie, which was
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, is that correct?
No.
It's Marilyn Monroe, correct?
It is
Marilyn. Diabetes.
Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot, of course.
Right.
That's
really?
Right.
Tony Curtis, Jack
that's
Lemmon,
right.
and Marilyn Monroe.
You know, I think I said this on the show when we had Zach on here. I'd never seen that movie, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I know, and that's strange. It was one of those ones that kind of fell through the gaps of my knowledge.
So famous, then.
So, yeah, and I know the songs from it, of course.
And it was a packed house at the Alex, and the beauty of this production for Musical Theater Guild, if you don't know about Musical Theater Guild, is that it is restricted in the following ways by the unions, by equity unions, when they use equity people, which is pretty much their company, is probably 60, 70 mm-hmm. members, all who have to audition. But they have only, they can only rehearse the show for 25 hours.
Unbelievable.
And when they do the show, they have to be holding the scripts in their hands. And it is because they are making, that's the union exception. And if they're not holding it, it has to be somewhere nearby them.
This is the show, Sugar.
This is the rules of putting on a musical.
I think they call it a stage musical reading?
Yes.
They call it a stage reading.
Yeah.
Different contract.
So it's no sets. And then there's an orchestra, but there's no sets, and there's props, and there's costumes. And mm-hmm. They do an amazing job. And Robert Morris, the great actor, from mm-hmm. True on Broadway and How to Succeed in Business on Broadway.
Great
and so many,
talent.
He was... the original role of in
Marilyn Monroe
production. no, in the of Jack Lemmon role. And he was there that
wow,
evening.
How cool.
And
oh boy, no
he
pressure.
Was introduced from the stage before the show began, and the audience, not suspecting he would be there,
right,
went crazy.
Did they? How they, great.
And stood, actually.
Wow.
We stood for about 3 minutes. He walked up and down the aisle applauding the audience, and then he said a few things to them because he had sat in on the previous day's rehearsal.
Yeah.
And he was very very kind and encouraging and complimentary. So,
well, the movie's obviously, the movie is so well known, but the musical really doesn't get much play, and that's what Musical Theater Guild specials
are. It doesn't. Yeah. It is, I must say, of a Julie Stein musical like this, Julie Stein, who wrote Gypsy and so many mm-hmm. other great hits on Broadway. It was toward the end of his career, and it wasn't really the best piece of work. Musically speaking, and the book was, you know, could be better. But yeah. overall, it certainly didn't take away from the event itself and enjoying seeing this seldom, you know, done musical. So.
And how was Zach and...
they were fantastic.
You know, it's so
on top of it.
They were great on the show, but even more than that, you could tell they had such a love for every kind of musical theater, yeah. which I thought was really
yes.
amazing.
Yes, so. Indeed. And they sounded beautiful, I mean, when they sang, and Zach just kind of morphs into all these
he
different
does.
Characters, and he plays a couple different characters, meaning they're all supposed to be him, but the way that the script goes, you know.
Wow, yeah.
Pretending to be, he is a musician who pretends to be a female musician who then pretends to be a captain of a yacht.
Wow.
You know, so he makes all those quick character changes with ease, I must say. And she is amazing.
She is.
Melissa
Fine. Special, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
she is. And the rest of the cast, I might say.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great.
What
obviously,
about you, sir?
You know, busy week. I was running back and forth. I was working all week long, and I have had two fight jobs and lots of craziness, but I got
fight
notified
he's
that...
He's a fight... Stunt coordinator, yeah, choreographer.
I'm a fight choreographer, so a lot of what I do is Shakespeare shows and stuff like that. But I got notified today that two of my best friends, this was actually a week ago that I got notified right after the show, but they're getting married. They met doing a show I wrote years and years and years ago. So I told them I get 10% of their wedding gifts. Is that correct?
I'd say no, 15.
It's an agent 15. Town. Oh, good. The manager town. That's yeah.
Were they in a fight? Were they in a fight when they met?
No, they were not fighting.
That would be good for a marriage.
Right?
They
can set some nice lead into their fights going forward. But it was funny because they are such a wonderful couple. They dated for a long, long time. But I kind of felt, and we're close friends, but I kind of felt a special bond that my show had done that. And then I realized that, you know, that didn't mean I get to be in the wedding. That doesn't mean that I get to, you know, come home and live with them for any extended period of time. They're just going to leave me and walk away and go start their life together. Unbelievable.
No gift bag, nothing.
The nerve of these people, that's right. I want some kind of swag from that wedding.
Have you ever been a part of a wedding party?
Oh, many times. Many, yeah. many times, yeah.
What about you guys? Part of a wedding party?
Yeah, I was the person that was there when my brother got married,
nice.
And I was the best man for my best friend's wedding, so I kind of have the routine down by now.
Did you do anything special for your brother being the best man?
Oh, I did a lot of things special. I planned the bachelor party.
Oh,
that was
okay.
That was the special right there.
I've done a couple of those. That's a little bit of a daunting task, too. You
oh,
realize,
yeah.
man, don't mess that up, you know?
Oh, yeah. But we got memories and pictures that have been hidden away forever and ever.
That's great. That's great. Chris, no?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have, actually. Whoa, just hit the mic. I married, which I shouldn't have done. I mean, I should not be allowed to be marrying people, but my friend Jay Mitch and Robin Meany wanted a funny wedding. So I was the presider over the wedding.
Fantastic.
And I went through how they went, how they met, and I was doing the plot to Top Gun. The funny thing is people weren't laughing until it was a while. They really thought he was a fighter pilot and she worked for the Defense
they didn't
Department.
Know him well.
And then it started to come in with the laughs, but I was fishing for a laugh.
And she looked at him and said, I'll be your wingman anytime.
Yeah. That's exactly the line. Yeah. He had a problem with his father and he was a rebel. They called him Maverick.
Was his name Goose? Yeah, that's what
Goose. Goose was the best man.
You could have done Always too with Richard Dreyfuss, and you know, until she died in the fiery explosion. See people finally catch on. My goodness, it's interesting. I'm actually presiding over a wedding later this year. So many people getting married right now. Obviously, beautiful weather here in California as the year closes out. But that's a lot of pressure too when you're going to marry somebody, because you want to make it fun, but you don't want to make it so fun that the wedding gets lost in that. It's a trick.
Well, speaking of fun, I thought this was funny. I mean, when I was the best man. And which I did not want to be the best man because I really didn't know the groom that well. I mean, he was kind of related through family, and it just turned out that way.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what can I do to kind of make this cool or fun? So, and it was a Catholic wedding, by the way. So when they were at the altar kneeling, I had written in advance on his shoes, she got hers today, he'll get his tonight. And I thought it was hilarious. Now, you couldn't read it from the back of the church, but of course, where the families are sitting, they read it.
Very funny.
Well, the groom got a laugh, but not the kind of laugh I was thinking he was going to get.
Your car didn't get keyed or anything on the way out by the mother of the bride.
No, it was not even around at that point.
Well, I was watching the George Harrison documentary the other day, which is really fantastic. It's on Netflix now and worth a checking out. But he was talking about when he had had, I believe at his, maybe it was his first wedding, I don't recall, but the rest of the Beatles were there very, very young, and they were, of course, all drinking, and they were playing, but a family member had sat down to play the piano and was playing a beautiful part, and John Lennon got so annoyed that she wasn't playing rock and roll that he poured a beer over her head, and the Beatles took over and played the rest of the wedding. I couldn't believe that.
Wow.
Give peace a chance, brother, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
I couldn't believe that.
Not a very polite.
Well, it goes to show, I mean, how much. I mean, these were raucous young kids living in Liverpool. They were troublemakers. Right. And the way we view them now, I think sometimes forgets, you know, where they came from, the hard times and the rough lives they were living. And, you know, he went all the way from that to hippie with no shoes and long hair and sitting with Yoko.
And working with me.
And working with you. Well, and of course, you knew George well, yeah?
I did.
George, the documentary, I don't know if you've seen it, and I kept looking for you in pictures. Whenever they do.
No, not unless they covered the tour that we did, which I handled his publicity for the first tour he ever did, first Beatle to do a tour by
there
himself.
Were pictures of that tour.
Yeah. Huh. With Ravi Shankar was his opening act, and that was a nightmare, but yeah.
Well, his life was amazing, and obviously he left some great music behind, and it was interesting to get a little bit different perspective on the Beatles because you don't hear that much about George.
Hey, is it true that George Harrison's part of his ashes are at the Lake Shrine? Down at do you guys know where Lake Shrine is?
Yeah,
down, yeah, where I know Gandhi's ashes, part of it's the only place outside of India.
I didn't know that.
Where Gandhi's ashes are.
Wow.
And there's rumor that George Harrison is sprinkled around.
I wouldn't be surprised. I can't say that.
Yeah.
That's real.
Wow.
Anyway, folks, call in if you know the
answer.
That's
right. Look, start some internet searching now, boys and girls. Well, hey, should we jump into our amazing amazing
subject? Let's talk about the Beatles. And pouring beer on guests.
Good, but may not sell a lot of tickets for your show. So here we go.
That might, though, Andrew.
You never know. Our first guest is an actor, writer, and San Francisco native, and the youngest of 8 children. His mother deserves an award for that. One of the earliest acts was A Family Affair, co-writing and performing with his brother in their hit comedy group, which went on to the semifinals of NBC's Last Comic Standing, was one of the original performing groups in San Francisco Sketchfest, and went on to tour North America.
Appearing in over 90 commercials, he is a veteran of film and television. He has worked with both Emmy and Academy Award-winning producers, actors, and directors, including Brian Gordon in TV Land's I'm Not Dead Yet, as well as Marley Matlin in Super Deffy, No Ordinary Hero, and Joe Pavlo in Inside Mamet's Computer.
In addition to excelling in high-octane physical comedy, he is an established established dramatic actor, having trained in New York City at Sanford Meisner's Neighborhood Playhouse and Stetson Studio. He has performed in several off-Broadway shows, including Only Kidding and Iron Tommy.
His on-camera seminar, C4, Ignite Your Dream, focuses on commercials, co-stars, community, and career. He is most proud of his work, however, at Eagle Rock School in Colorado, where he supervised service learning projects with at-risk teenagers. He is involved with several other organizations, including BOMO, if I'm saying that correctly, and Holy Cross Parish in Dandora, Africa.
This year, he will also be featured as one of the 5 single people who try to figure out dating in the age of social media, texting, hanging out, and hooking up in the upcoming feature documentary, The Dating Project.
But he's here today to tell us more about his theatrical one-man comedy show debut, Swiping Mr. Right, on stage now at the Santa Monica Playhouse. Let's give it up for the very, very fun funny Chris Meehan.
Yeah.
Everyone, please sit down. No. So humble. Thank you to my publicist, Michael Conley, for putting that together. Boy, that was the longest intro.
Wasn't it?
I got to go home now, man. I need a nap just from reading that.
Can we just get to reality? I was painting a rental all week. You know, I'm a house painter, all right? But that makes me sound like I'm prime rib.
An important house painter.
You know what I am.
He's a funny house painter, and that's the best kind.
One day they're going to say, that guy painted my house.
Well, you know, Chris actually opened for me. Can you imagine?
I didn't know that.
When did he do that? A couple of years, about almost 5 years ago.
That was a great birthday. That was a lot of fun.
Is it strange opening for a stripper?
Did it work? I had a friend. If you look at the photos, I have black eyebrows. And a friend of mine said, you need to go get a facial and get your eyebrows done. I went to a Russian woman, and I had no idea what I was doing. When I got out of the thing, I looked like Groucho Marx. It looked like caterpillars were growing on my head. And she says, don't worry, no one will notice.
Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness you don't have to stand in front of people.
Oh, at least they started laughing. It was, anyway.
Wow.
It was good.
But you're a relatively blonde person. You had dark black eyebrows?
I looked like an Egyptian. It's hard to explain. I was just coming up with stuff.
You're in L.A., just say it's for a role.
Yeah. Given your very fair complexion and light hair.
And she was talking on the phone in Russian with like a headpiece. And as she was doing it, a piece of spittle like came out of her mouth and just hit me in the face. And I was just, she's popping, you know, she's going after blackheads and dying things. And I just didn't, it wasn't a good experience.
That'll stick with you for a while, yeah.
So you don't recommend it to others that might have your complexion.
Maybe for Lent suffering. Maybe for penance.
Well, now, I was looking, obviously, what an extensive career you've had, and you're known for your comedy, but tell me about Inside Mammoth's Computer. What is that?
My brother Howard wrote that, and Joe had worked on the Peter Sellers project that was on HBO, and basically it was a metaphor for Genesis.
Wow.
And we're 2 characters in the computer, in his hard drive, and since David Mammoth's a little bit more dominant on male characters, there was a developed female character in the hard drive that kept being, you know, surpassed by the males. Anyway, so it's basically a metaphor for Adam and Eve, and
sure. It
got a little weird and artsy, but you know, the special effects were good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And now we have coming up Swiping.
Yeah,
Mr.
which
Right.
I am correct? Totally wow. Just think this is right up your alley, sir.
It is, Michael. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how it came about.
Well, it came about with my friend Megan Harrington. We were having a dinner party, and we're like, why are we all single? Anyway, she's a producer, so she
because put of your eyebrows. Did she
because
say
of my eyebrows. Yeah, no kidding. It was. Thank you. It was. You know, it was the caterpillars floating on my face. And there was a lot of reasons why I'm single, but for my other friends. But she put together a pitch project. She pitched it. She got the funding, and Empower and Paul's Productions and Family Theater got on board and bought it. They got distribution, but basically, they tracked people through the dating trends. And it's a fantastic movie. I just saw a premiere on Sunday. It comes out in February. But it got me thinking. I started to air out my life interview after interview, and I didn't want to kind of look like a stuffed shirt. So now it's like, now it's out there. So I kind of have to live up to this person that I say I want to be. And so that's where I came up with Swiping Mr. Right, as far as a live theater show, which is a comedy, but it's also kind of put, you know, it's a true self, false self. I realized I was just so full of it. My my profile on Bumble and whatever is, I step back now and you laugh going, I'm just so full of it. You know, I'm just so full of it. It's part of the show, but it's like we all have this storefront that we march out there and we need to. But it's really the, it's, you know, long-term relationships are really kind of the shadow and the ugly parts of it's part of it, too. It's just, it's not right or wrong. It's just part of it. But no one really marches that out.
Well, and we're actors, too, so we're taught to market and brand ourselves in a positive way.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely, goodness. Right. Yeah, and we are branding ourselves. Yeah. So we're only putting out parts of ourselves that are so-called attractive or so we think.
Right.
And it's not human.
That's interesting.
But it is so much the trend right now. I mean, you know, with all of these sites that are making millions of dollars off of people and claiming that, you know, each one claiming that they are, you can put together the most relationships between people, the most successful relationships. Maybe that's right. I don't know. I mean, I've always felt, and it's not that I haven't, have I put myself out there like that? Yes, I have. But, you know, it's not, I've never had a bad experience. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's weird because you the people who react to you, if you happen to like one and you respond to that, often they'll just kind of bail. They'll just go. They'll
ghost. Ghost. Yeah. We call it ghosting. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
It's called, yeah. Yeah.
Mine always get very angry when they find out that I'm married. It's like, that's a big no-no.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's unbelievable how serious people are about that.
That's not ghosting. That was your wife.
You know, it's funny. I'm very glad that I'm not single in this world because it is hard to date these days. That's a very challenging
thing. But why is it hard? Well, because everybody's got their face down in
absolutely.
These phones.
The part that scares me the most is I remember when I grew up, you met somebody and the relationship had time to develop. Relationships these days, you immediately can go online and see every picture from that person's life on Facebook. You can immediately find it. And it's almost like you don't get a chance to know the person. You immediately have all this inundated exactly. by all this outside stuff.
Yeah.
And your brain gets confused and you immediately start going to the negative. I think most people do. I don't think I would want to live where you have to know so much about somebody before you get to actually experience
them
one-on-one.
But the thing is you don't. That's the thing. Is, you know, if you go to the supermarket and you go to the salad dressing thing, there's so many salad dressings.
Right.
You know, I end up just walking out with vinegar and oil because just like I don't know, there's so much.
A little salt and pepper.
And what happens is that the abundance of choice is paralyzing us and it's making us unhappy and it's exhausting us. And this is all real stuff. Like there's a experiment that happens and there's two groups and you're allowed to pick any piece of art and return it anytime you want.
Wow.
The other group picks one piece of art and can never return it. Who's happier with their selection?
Interesting.
The people without a choice.
Wow.
80% are more satisfied. The other group, 40%, they keep going back and thinking that there's something better out there.
Yeah.
And these sites and the choice abundance leads us to think that perfection exists somewhere out there. If we could just get it. If we could just get it. So we keep swiping. And that's what I was doing on one of these dating sites. I just kept swiping.
Looking for perfect.
Even with the good date, you just kept going. And it is very much the same science behind slot machines.
That's interesting.
Because we keep playing and they take, it's called partial reinforcement. And they just give you enough to keep playing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing and there's no stopping cues. So on Facebook or all these things, we can just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So they have partial reinforcement and they take out stopping cues. And so we just stay on there.
Yeah.
And what happens? They read our behavior and create algorithms and sell it. And it's kind of creepy, but anyway, wow, did I just get all serious? Anyway,
I don't know,
folks,
but I've got my finger on the rim shot button, and I didn't use it once during that whole thing.
Stop.
So
here we go.
Boy, now, tell me, and this is a serious subject. I know that obviously there's a lot of funny with this show too, and it is a hilarious show. People are going to enjoy this if they go to see it. They're going to get a laugh.
Lots of booing. Turn your phone up because it's hard to hear over the booing if you get a phone call during the show. Just turn up that ringer because
what's this?
My mother was booing. I didn't know she had a set of lungs on her like that. She boo 93.
What's the solution to what you just talked about, that oversaturation of choices and options. Do you, after reading the show and writing the show and being a part of this, have you hypothesized at all about how you can improve dating life for
absolutely.
Yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are focused on the partner we want to have, not on the one we need to be. So I'm out there looking for my smorgasbord of people to satisfy what I think I want when I don't even know it. And ultimately, I said this the other night.
What is it you want?
Money and power.
That's a great. That is a great question.
I mean, in somebody else. What is it?
You know, there's a surface things, of course. Yeah. And there's chemistry, but it's gone far down on the rung because chemistry comes and go, and all of us have had major chemistry with people, and it's ended up being a crap storm, just crazy. It's ended up being crazy. You know what? I'd like to really be myself around someone authentically. And
Kind of a man child, as
I'm a man
press
child.
Notes
well,
say.
Yeah, that is true. But so since I've kind of led with that, we can do. I'm not trying to hide that anymore. you know, I'm more. Someone asked me this question the other night, Michael, and I got tongue tied. I really want to be, I want to share something with someone. And right now, you know, there's looks and things like that do matter. Let's not pretend that they don't. But right now, I kind of want to share a faith experience with someone. Mm-hmm. Someone who's authentically seeking a spiritual relationship is what, because that's what all this has become for me, has been a spiritual journey. And it's not about getting that person. It's about being the right person. And you know what? That's okay. If the right person is supposed to come by, then they will, because you've allowed grace into, you know, your relationship in my life. So, honestly, that's what I've come to the conclusion is, wow.
So now all of jokes. This that you've been talking about the last few minutes is part of your event on
and
stage?
And it's funny, too.
And it's funny.
And it's funny, too. You know, gosh, you guys got me going off. But, yeah, and you know what? I usually write some jokes, and, you know, I was late getting here.
It's okay.
You well, did let's text talk me a twice. Little bit.
I'm parking. He's like, wow, you've been parking for a long time. Well, I'm parked on the 405.
Well, now you got to tell me a little bit about your experiences with your comedy group, with your family comedy group, as well as your experiences on NBC. Tell me, how was that, and how did it change your outlook not only on your career but on dating as well? Did that change it at all?
Yeah. You know, I tell you, working with my brothers was great. A lot of friction. Really difficult, actually. But my brother Michael kept us out of Hackville. He's been a comedian for a while. So we always operated clean. And it was a lot of fun. But yeah, it was stressful. But just being elevated with my brothers was good exposure for me and great training.
Yeah.
And you're working with family. You're working
great
with family.
Thing.
Yeah.
And how was the fame and the notoriety that came with that? Did that change how you look at your career and how you look at dating as a guy in L.A. who's struggling with some of that sort of thing?
What fame and notoriety?
From being on State of the Arts, man. That's what I'm talking about.
State of the Arts is huge. Chick magnet, man. You know what? I'll tell you a funny story. It's so shallow. For a while there, I was just on everything. I was booking a lot of work, you know, so I was you would go to a baseball game. I'd be on the Jumbotron. You would go to the gas station, like a Shell, and I was one of those things. And I found myself sometimes sitting at a bar. This is so bad. Sitting underneath the television knowing that a commercial would come on.
Nice.
And they're like, are you that guy? I'm like, well, hey now.
What a coincidence.
Which sock is wider? Do you like Clorox? Which sock is wider?
Oh, we just got a new sponsor. Sweet.
Yes. God, what? Yeah. No, I don't, you know, that fame, I don't know. It was fun. In San Francisco, it was fun, you know.
Do you find women that you're dating, they're attracted to somebody who's a comic, or do they say, I don't want to open up that bag of worms?
With the fame question, I like the fact that you assume that I'm dating a
woman. I got to be honest. I looked at a lot of your stuff last night.
Some of us would find that question.
You have fans, man. There are some people who really like what you do. You have people who I would say borderline obsessed with how funny you guys were, which is a nice thing, too.
It's a really nice thing. You know what? And just recently having a couple days off is just to kind of receive that.
Yeah.
You kind of don't believe it, and you don't want it to happen, but it's important to kind of take it in and say, hey, people appreciated it. So
yeah. Well, let's give people the info here on
Absolutely.
Swiping Mr. Right. Obviously, a very funny show with I think, as we've discussed, some important themes as well behind it. So this production's the easiest way to get tickets for Swiping Mr. Right is to go to the website, swipingmrright.com, and tickets are available there. It's playing at the beautiful Santa Monica Playhouse down in Santa Monica.
It's a guest production there, and it's directed by Kate Whitney. And did you give out the specific information
as to
how to get tickets?
Just the swiping Mr. Wright website. Is that the easiest place?
Is that the easiest way?
SwipingMrWright.com.
So you have a performance this evening, and you have one tomorrow evening.
Friday, and then we're going to regroup and take it on the road. So.
Awesome.
Now, for people who haven't been to the Santa Monica Playhouse, this is one of the easiest playhouses to get to. You go down to 3rd Street Promenade. It's one street off the promenade. You park in one of the big structures. Parking is relatively cheap, and P.F. Chang's is right across the street.
So we like that. Yeah. It's actually located at 1211 4th Street in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And as Andrew said, you know, go down, have early, and go to P.F. Chang's.
Go eat, get some good food, walk the promenade, have a good time. And while you're there, maybe you meet somebody, fall in love, and everything works out good.
Exactly. Feed the homeless. Feed the homeless. That's right.
Okay, now we're going to move on here because I think we have jumped past our live arts calendar time, and the gentleman sitting to your left, Michael, is aching to talk. Do you feel that?
I do.
I definitely feel that.
It's a strange energy, but yeah, I feel it.
Chris, would you be so kind as to hang around with us for a little bit more?
Absolutely. Cool. The buffet here is wonderful.
We spare no expense.
I will only eat quiet food. I do not want to interrupt this. It's a very important interview coming up.
And now for those looking to venture into something else, we have a unique and special guest coming up. Our next guest is the Artistic Director of CRE Outreach, a nonprofit performing arts organization dedicated to empowering underserved individuals from low-income populations in Greater Los Angeles. Since 2007, CRE Outreach has utilized theater and performing arts and educational programs as a mean to enhance self-esteem, encourage self-expression, and empower individuals to overcome the challenges in their lives.
Yes, indeed. And he has received his BA in theater from Tulane University and his MA in educational theater from the Steinhardt School at NYU. Since he began teaching theater in 2003, he has traveled all over the world bringing performing arts and arts therapy to page. Hold on, everybody. On the edge of your seats for this next word. He has,
and now, for those looking,
bringing performing arts and arts therapy programs to various populations in cities including London, Dublin, Puerto Rico, and Brazil.
His work helps at-risk youth, military veterans, prisoners, mentally challenged individuals, and the homeless, and the visually impaired. Blind in his right eye, his personal connection and sensitivity towards that challenge, and the challenges incorporated with that of the visually impaired, lend a unique perspective to his work.
He's here to tell us about his new production titled Autism Sings, featuring Rex and Friends in concert October 4th and 5th at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica. And we are so happy to have him with us today. Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Greg Shane back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yes.
Really, really appreciate being here. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Now, Greg, I got to say, this is a strange subject to transition into. We've been laughing a whole lot, but the work that you do actually parallels very well some of what Chris was talking about as well in working with the underserved youth and using theater as a sort of catharsis and a way to heal. We've seen a lot of that going on. Has that been rewarding for you?
It's been probably the most rewarding aspect of my life. I started 10 years ago. We started with 4 visually impaired individuals in a gym, and now we currently work with 2,700 individuals who are blind, autistic, in the military community, and the visually impaired.
No, I'm sorry, say that again. 2,700 in the military community and the visually impaired
population. Yeah, 2,700 participants who are either at-risk youth. We serve programs in the Los Angeles area, free performing arts programs all over to Los Angeles, and we work with the autistic community, as I mentioned, the military community, and the visually impaired community. We actually have the only blind theater company in the country, as well as the only blind dance company in the country.
I saw a beautiful video on the blind dance company that was recently a piece on NBC, KNBC News, here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Wow. Really, such a you would think it would be so difficult to teach that, but it clearly is not.
Well, Michael, when I started working on the show with you, I was impressed by some of the amazing artists that we had come on. One of the things that I did not expect is how many people are using the theater arts and the visual performing arts and different ways of reaching out through artistic means to touch the lives of people. And we've seen this spread to other parts of the world, right? USC just had their blind long snapper. Is it, I believe, long snapper?
Yeah, he's totally blind.
A blind long snapper step on the field during a college football game, a major top 25 college football program, and successfully make all his blocking assignments. And not only that, but, I mean, with an excess of energy and really, I mean, an amazing performance. And we've seen that cross over to so many different avenues of life. There are moments in time where I'm so proud to live in this country and so proud to be a part of what we're a part of, because truly that is something that was unthinkable.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Our performers do things I never thought was possible.
I'm sure.
They skateboard across the stage being totally blind. They rollerblade. We have performers that play all sorts of instruments. Just Rex Lewis Clack, who is the featured performer of this concert, Autism Sings, can hear one song one time and then play it absolutely fluently. He was labeled a musical savant at 7 years old by 60 Minutes.
Wow.
And he is one of the most incredible piano players I've ever heard.
And see, you know, that's a perfect little lead-in to the clip that we have. Well, you want to play that for Rex?
I will. This is Rex Lewis here. And I've got to say, the first time I heard this, I almost didn't believe it. We're going to play the audio clip. But if you want to go visit this on YouTube, just type in Rex Lewis Chopin and it'll come up. Again, this is Rex Lewis.
Hey, I've been working really hard on my piano playing. I've always heard that the Chopin Etudes are really hard, but I guess I have to do them. So here's a piece I'm very excited about, and it's called the Chopin Revolutionary Etude.
If that isn't a sample of some genius behind the
keys. Well, I mean, theater is about kind of exposing what's inside of you for the sake of others getting a chance to learn from it. If that's not a perfect example of that, I don't know what is.
And Rex, you know, communicates through his music. He's both blind and autistic.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was really felt alone and isolated before he found music and before he found Rex and Friends, and it just completely has changed his life. And he feels like he's so confident now, and he just brings such grace and joy to the stage. It's really spectacular. It's something you have to see. Autism Sings is really, I saw the show last night and I was so moved and so proud of them.
Right.
I mean, they do an amazing job.
Well, now, in your personal experience, you've been visually impaired since, you said, 3 years old, is that correct?
At 3 weeks old, visually impaired, yeah.
Wow.
I had a surgery called PHPV where they basically removed everything that operated my eye. And people told me I wouldn't be able to drive, wouldn't be able to play sports, wouldn't be able to do all these things. And that was a motivation factor for me to be able to. I basically did everything. I was a varsity athlete.
You said, watch me.
Yeah, kind
I
of.
Like
and,
that.
And that's kind
of
how I see everybody else in this group. You know, watch me is a great motto for what I see and what I observe.
Wow.
Which is one of the reasons we're actually in the process of trying to build the first of its kind theater for all abilities. It's never been done that I know of. And we've been donated a gym, which we want to transform into a theater, and we'll have wheelchair dancing there, all performers who are disabled, the veteran community, and we're doing a big campaign on Kickstarter, so I'd like to mention it.
Please do. How can people contribute?
People can go to creoutreach.org. That's creoutreach.org, and contribute to our Kickstarter campaign. It's on the front page. And Envision Our Theater is what we're going for. So please get behind it. It's really going to change so many lives. We reached 2,700 right now. We'd like to reach way more.
What's your goal?
Our goal is 50,000 right now.
Very reachable. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think we can definitely do it if we get everybody behind it. And And it's just going to be something that changes so many lives, like I said.
Wonderful. CRE is an acronym for Create, Reflect, Empower.
Wow.
And now, did Rex find you, or how did your relationship with him come about?
That's a great story. So Theater by the Blind, as I mentioned, is the only blind theater company in the country. And we were putting on a performance, and I thought it would be an amazing opportunity to find another group of musicians and collaborate. I love collaborations. And I happened to find Rex online, and I contacted the people with Rex and Friends. Matt Wolf was the president, and he's a very good friend of mine. And we got together, and we said, let's do this. Let's make it happen. And we did a show last October. We raised $56,000 from the performance, and we sold out every show at Magicopolis. It was a 150-seat theater.
Wow.
And it was an unbelievable performance. There were 25 people in the show.
Ugh.
So it was spectacular.
Magicopolis? I've never heard of that.
Magicopolis is in Santa Monica on 4th Street.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, so we've had people on, the gentleman from the Colony Theater who uses theater as therapy for severe stutterers, which was a very touching show. And it was interesting to hear what he talked about as a stutterer himself, how he learned to speak mm-hmm. appropriately and in a public setting by just pushing through it and knowing that he could do this through his experience with theater. And I think there's a lot of good work going on like that, including, Chris, your work in Colorado. Correct? You work with at-risk children and use theater as therapy there. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. It's a great tool.
It's an interesting thing. When you do something like that, I think that the biggest benefit is that parents have hope when they didn't before. And that's the thing that I was touched by the most, being a father and looking at my children and realizing how much you want to give them. When there's something that they have that keeps them from being able to excel in ways you would have originally thought, somebody giving them that power is the greatest gift you can have. So how can parents find out about these shows you're talking about and how to come get their kids who may have autism or Asperger's or any other ailment that's, you know, something they want them to overcome? How can they find out about your shows?
That's a great question, because we're always looking to expand. We provide free programming. We pay all our performers, so we really want to get as many people involved with the organization. If they are interested in participating, they can contact me directly. I'm the artistic director at gshane@creoutreach.org. That's gshane@creoutreach.org. And if you're interested in seeing all the upcoming shows and everything we're doing, you can go to creoutreach.org. And that's also where you'll find Autism Sings, which is premiering next week at the Edgemar Center, October 4th and 5th. And it's something you got to see. It's truly a fantastic performance.
Oh, cool. How cool.
Well said. And tickets are very appropriately priced at $15. You can't beat that. And as we always say on this program, get up off the couch, put that remote down, and get out and enjoy and take your children to see live performance.
That's
live
exactly
theater,
right. Yeah,
because that's what will nurture their brains instead of what you're watching on television.
I tell you, we talk so much about how much we want to be inclusive and all that sort of thing. Watch children be exposed to somebody who doesn't have the advantages they have, and watch them try harder and grow through that, because there's nothing like the openness of children when they see that sort
Just
of thing.
To add to that statement, I have a 7-year-old, and mm-hmm. he's my assistant at Theater by the Blind. And
is he the assistant artistic director?
His assistant artistic director.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
7 years old. The kid's making me look bad already.
But it's really been an incredible experience, because he sets up the textured surfaces to help navigate the stage, yeah. and he helps sight guide them around, and he runs the music for me, and he's 7 years old, and he has learned so much, and empathy
that.
Is the biggest thing he has learned. Mm-hmm. So I really believe what you're saying is, you know, giving kids opportunities, you know, bring kids to Autism Sings. I mean, it's a beautiful concert, and kids will walk away being like, wow, you know, they can do it, so can I.
Well, this is great, great work you're doing, and this is one of those things where we talk about the live and performing arts being a haven for people who want to better themselves and grow. What a wonderful thing. Autism Sings, and Rex is truly, truly amazing. If you haven't checked him out, Rex Lewis is his name, spelled just like you'd think, Rex Lewis.
Rex Lewis Clack.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you Google Rex Lewis Clack, or if you Google just Rex Lewis Chopin, a bunch of his stuff will pop up on YouTube, and you have to see it to believe it is so organic and beautiful to watch. It's really something
and
special.
I say, with regard to seeing the actual performance that's coming up, is in addition to the website, which Greg just mentioned a moment ago, there's also a telephone number that you can call, which is 310-902-8220. And again, online at creoutreach.org. Tickets mm-hmm. for Autism Sings with Rex and friends at the beautiful Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica.
It's a great place, and obviously we've talked a little bit about this, but your Kickstarter fund is, you're seeking $50,000, which is a very attainable sum. If people want to donate, they can go to creoutreach.org, and they'll find some other information there as well from
Absolutely.
What I saw. Good. And tickets for the shows, if you want to just take your kids out and first see the show, see what you're getting involved with, we'd encourage you to go down there. Tickets are sold at the door starting at 7:30 on both nights. Is that correct?
Correct.
Fantastic.
Well, you certainly seem like you are doing everything right to get attention to your organization. You've gotten a lot of great hits on television news. I've looked at a few of them, and this type of unity, especially with children in the arts, I think is just as important as if it was just we always are pitching about children getting to the theater, that it's just as important as anything that we can ever possibly talk about in this program.
That's absolutely right.
Because it's enabling them to be able to have a life and have the life that they are hoping to have, and actually having a life that other people can't have in many instances, because they don't possess that kind of brain power or talent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's remarkable what you do, Greg. You are a very special man.
See, now I could benefit by that. Have you ever thought about a program for people who have no talent? Because I honestly feel that I could shine in that sort of atmosphere. Short, goofy-looking guys with no talent. This is the most underserved population in California, I'm telling you. What a great thing. Obviously, we wish you the best with this.
Thank you so much.
I believe, gentlemen, it is that time.
It
Did
is.
You know it?
Yeah.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Unbelievable. The fear sweeps over
the sweat. The beads of sweat down their brows.
Chris, do you have anything to start us off with? An embarrassing moment?
I think he's got quite a few rolling around.
Yeah. You know what? They're so embarrassing that you just forget them. But the one that pops to mind, I mean, they really are. I have forgotten. The one that pops to mind, we were doing a gig in Marin County at the Belrose Theater, and the owner had a little dog that was, she lived in the back of the theater, and the dog left us a little surprise on the side of the stage. And my brother Howard has a gift of finding those surprises and stepping in them.
Oh, no.
So he stepped in it and walked all over the stage, and then I was up. I do all the physical comedy rolling around the stage.
Oh.
So I discovered, I was like, wow, it smells. I know it smells, and then it smelt on me, and then I'm seeing Howard in the scene with just a big claw
smelt?
On the butt.
Is there a word?
Smelt.
Oh,
smelt. 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 Yeah, and then I look, and I see on the bottom of Howard's shoes just a big pile of... little Schmelt. Doggy
Shame.
Stuff. That that was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
And Greg, what you got for us?
All right. So before I got into CRE Outreach, I was a professional magician, and I was one of the top four youth magicians in the world. I was performing at the Magic Castle.
Wow.
And I had a special guest who I wasn't sure he was actually going to come to the show, and that was O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my.
And, look at you.
And I do a trick where I do a signed dollar bill inside a kiwi fruit. Someone signs a dollar bill. I make the dollar bill disappear and ends up inside a kiwi. Well, in my show, I have a line where I say, I need a knife, anyone from New York City.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy.
So I was debating whether I was going to say the line or not. And I was going back and forth, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say this line and watch the reaction. And I said, I need a knife, anyone from New York City? And the audience just started howling.
Wow.
And he looked so uncomfortable.
Oh, my goodness.
So so that was a pretty embarrassing but kind of awesome moment.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. You made evidence and reason disappear. As well, apparently.
Wow, that one would do it. Did you complete the show and finish in good fashion?
Oh yeah, I finished the show.
You know, see, I had no idea that you. I knew you were a performer, but a magician.
Yeah. I was. I performed all over. I was in Dresden, Germany, Oakland, Vegas. Performed all over. That was my past.
My goodness.
I used to represent a gentleman by the name of David Copperfield.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Oh, maybe.
Dickens wrote a book about him.
Yes, right.
For about 4 years touring with him. And, when you work for someone, a magician, especially of that caliber, you have to sign your life away in a document about revealing anything that you see and are privileged to be aware of. And Wow. You know, I mean, still, David in particular, I think, is one of the best musicians in the world. Yeah. Because he's entertaining.
Mm-hmm. And his presentation's fantastic.
He's also like a man boy, too.
Yeah,
and he is very much on stage, so ingratiating to the audience. And, you know, those television specials were pretty spectacular. We did, too. Amazing time.
That's great.
That's cool. I like the Magic Castle. I've been there a couple of times, and, you know, one of the greatest things... is that when you go into the bar and you're waiting for your table to have dinner, at the bar there are, or should I be telling this, there are bar seats.
This is a secret.
There are special bar seats. That's how I
leave it like that.
Just, you know, ask maybe somebody that works there that you'd like to sit on a special bar seat and have them direct you.
A number of good friends from the Magic Castle, and magicians, I think, have a special place in their heart for any performer. They understand how hard it can be to do any kind of live performance, but Micah Cover, the gentleman I'm thinking of, has helped us out with Dark Heart of Poe a lot of times, and certainly a great, great magician. Those Magic Castle magicians work so hard. They do such a good job, and they certainly love and perfect their craft very quickly.
Is Milt Larson, who is the who founded that organization,
I saw him there just a year or so ago.
He's still alive. Irene Patton. Away.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah. Milt's down at the Magic Castle fairly frequently, along with a bunch of other people. Yeah. It's a great place, but it's interesting. I saw him at the edge of the bar one time, and just a bunch of people around and just hanging out and doing card tricks.
So when you are a member, did you run into Neil Patrick Harris?
He was there all the time, but I never actually talked to Neil.
Yeah.
But he was there a lot, yeah.
I think that, you know, there's a room underneath, I guess at the lowest level of that venue. Mm-hmm.
The library area.
That was turned into a cabaret room.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a super low ceiling, mm-hmm. so it's kind of claustrophobic. And it didn't do really well as a cabaret room. It had a short life, but Neil came, and didn't he buy it from them, or he took it over?
I don't know that.
One of the two.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I know the
But I love the Magic Castle, and it's kind of cool because you have to know a magician to go.
That's
so
right. Exactly.
That's
so,
fun.
And now we know one.
A fun little perk.
Right? Well, listen, guys, we want to say a big thank you to Chris and Greg for being here today. Thank you both. Thank you both.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We want to remind you about some of the great stuff going on here. CRE Outreach, that's the website you go to donate to the Kickstarter campaign or to find out more about Autism Sings with Rex and Friends. Again, CRE, the letter CRE, outreach.org.
That's right. So, guys, we hope to have you. You're welcome back here anytime, anything. I wish you, Chris. I adore you. I wish you great success with this project at the Santa Monica.
Swiping and the film. What a great thing.
Yes. First 10 audience members do get a puppy.
Oh, my. You better be careful. You're going to have dog lovers showing up in the audience very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, Swiping Mr. Right. That's swipingmrright.com. And I assume you're on all the social media as well. Can people find you there?
Yeah, they can find me.
Excellent.
They can probably find him in places they wouldn't want to find.
That's
him, right?
What a great show. And guys, thank you both for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you so
Always
much.
It's a great pleasure to have you in our midst.
Thank
Michael,
you so much.
When do I get to see you again?
Next week on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.